Hello everybody, I'm George Myland. Well, thank you for coming back to my channel. And this is Marking Pakistan Day. I know I'm a day late, 23rd of March. Now, oddly, they celebrate this according to the Gregorian calendar, not according to the Islamic calendar. So it's calling to mind the Lahore Resolution, although that was the 24th of March, 1940. So I suppose I'm getting it right by doing it on the 24th of March, which is to say in Lahore, in those days, that was British India. They said that they wanted to see the creation of an independent Muslim country. And they said the British era in India was coming to a close fairly soon. And they're right. It was 7 years more to go. And when that happened, India ought to be partitioned. And the Muslim zones of India would form independent states. And pretty much the states, plural, in the northeast and northwest zones of India. The northeast is what's now Bangladesh, and the northwest is what's now Pakistan. And it doesn't even say the word Pakistan. So they often now call it the Pakistan Resolution, but at the time known as the Lahore Resolution, where it was announced in that park, there was the Minar e Pakistan, as in Pakistan Tower. And I've been up it, and it's too narrow. And so every time you go up, people's shoulders brushing the wall, and the walls were filthy, just stained black from, you know, just a tiny bit of whatever cloth rubbing, but you know, tens of thousands of people every single year doing it, make it like that. So the park was so crowded, it's a very, very polluted city, unfortunately, Lahore. So it was Muhammad Ali Jinnah delivered that speech there in front of a crowd, and he couldn't speak Urdu, and it was not Punjabi either. What, Sindhi or something? Because he's born in Karachi, lived in Bombay as it was in those days for many years, obviously fluent in English, a barrister. Did he speak Marathi or something? I don't know. It was announced to the waiting people that because the gentlemen of the press were there, and they almost all were men in those days, we're going to have to make the speech in English. There's a groan from the crowd because, of course, the great majority of people did not understand the English tongue in those days. So that was the founding father. Okay, so the resolution was moved by A.K. Fazlul Haq, okay, who was actually a Bengali. So some of the Bengalis were on board with this. Sher-e-Bangla, as in the Lion of Bangladesh, and so on. So part of it says, no constitutional plan would be workable or acceptable to Muslims unless geographical contiguous units are demarcated into regions which so constituted with such territorial adjustments as may be necessary. That the areas in which Muslims are numerically in the majority, as in the northwestern and northeastern zones of India, should be grouped into constitute independent states in which constituent units shall be autonomous and sovereign. Close quotation. But it does say units, states, it does say plural. Well, I suppose it was prescient because, of course, Bangladesh split from Pakistan in 1971. And indeed, you know, Muhammad Ali Jinnah got his way. On the 14th of August, 1947, Pakistan was created. It's now the Islamic Republic of Pakistan and all that. So this is a public holiday in Pakistan. And there'll be a parade in Islamabad, the capital city of Pakistan, a military parade. There's a chief guest, invariably the president. Now, no woman has ever been president, but a woman has been prime minister, Benazir Bhutto. She even had the honor of meeting me way back in 2000. She was assassinated in 2007. Okay, the prime minister will be there. Most of the cabinet, the whatever, the air chief marshal, whatever it is, the admiral of the fleet. I don't know, who is the army chief of staff. I know there's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, as in he is in charge of the army, the navy, the air force, all above them. So, okay, so an inter-services parade is in army, navy, air force. So the military is anything that actually functions in Pakistan. It'd be a rather dysfunctional country. And because they have to have an enemy to unite against, that's India, trying to get the whole of Jammu and Kashmir, have a strong defense capability. They've got nuclear weapons, so they're part of that fairly elite club. And Pakistan has got, is it 220 million people? I mean, it's large in area and is very large in population. So remember, at the time, in 1971, the time they lost the third Indo-Pakistan war, they were outnumbered by India like 8-1. Now they're numbered about 6-1, because Pakistan's got higher fertility, so sort of average of 4 babies per woman, whereas in India, it's supposed to be about 2.5. And so on, but though Pakistan's life expectancy is not as long. So they're fighting against the Taliban, which they sponsored in Afghanistan, which rules 90% of Afghanistan. But even Pakistan doesn't recognize the Taliban as the legal government of Afghanistan. Their relationship with Iran is fractious. Okay, now they're partly Persian culturally influenced. Some people can speak Persian, or the Urdu language is like Hindi with Persian loan words and so forth. At the same time, because Pakistan's like 80% Sunni, whereas Iran is 90% Shia, some of the sort of Al-Qaeda Taliban types revile the Shia minority. Now, the Pakistan People's Party has been led by the Bhutto family since its foundation in the late 60s, and they are Shia, as indeed was Muhammad Ali Jinnah. And that wasn't such a huge problem till the 70s, till Wahhabism got going, till Saudi Arabian petrodollars evangelized for that ideology, which is viciously anti-Shia. But when the PPP is in office, Pakistan People's Party, Iran tends to have a better relationship with Pakistan because, of course, it's led by a Shia family. But the Pakistan Muslim League, when they're in office, it's usually a duopoly between the two. So then relations take a turn south with Iran, or was the Tehrik-e-Insaf, the movement for justice, which is almost like exclusively Sunni, as is the Jamiat-e-Islami. So that is Pakistan, almost a failed state. MI6 created Pakistan. What's your proof for that? It was preposterous. I saw that in whatever it was, the Viceroy's house. That I don't believe there's any basis. In fact, it's nonsense, because actually the oneness of India was considered to be one of the major achievements of the British Raj, and the United Kingdom was keen to continue that legacy. We know that Lord Mountbatten was totally against partition of India. He tried to persuade Jinnah not to partition India. And indeed, there was the Cripps mission, Sir Stafford Cripps, a British cabinet minister, Labour MP. He went to India. It was in 1942. I was serving under Churchill. It was a wartime coalition. I know Churchill's conservative, to try and see if there was a way that India could m remain united, and also to promise that independence would be granted within 2 years of Japanese surrender. Sorry, within 3 years of Japanese surrender. In fact, they did it within 2 years. Japan surrendered 15th of August 1945. India became independent 2 years to the day exactly. Okay, could there be two mega provinces, one in the northeast and one in the northwest of India, with an extensive degree of autonomy? Those are the Muslim majority areas, but India would remain a single sovereign state. But that was unacceptable to Pakistan Muslim League. They wouldn't settle for anything less than absolute independence. Well, they got their way. And then, because partition was very bloody, then people tried to blame the United Kingdom. What possible advantages the UK accrue from it? People are always banging about divide et impera. I don't know a single document, a single statement by any British administrator, statesman, or whatever, where that was said in those words or any words to that effect. So, what do you think? Is there much to celebrate about Pakistan Day? And there's that Indian reunification association in India, saying let's sort of reunite Pakistan, India, and Bangladesh, but that's illegal in Pakistan and indeed in Bangladesh. Okay, Sir Allama Iqbal, people are saying, is he the one who really gets the credit for creating Pakistan? That poet, I thought he'd write in Farsi. He died in 1940, didn't live to see it. And I can't remember the name. Is it Chowdhury Rehmat Ali, that Cantabrigian, who was the one who invented the name Pakistan? And he came to Pakistan just after its establishment in 1947. Thinking he'd be given a hero's welcome, he's given a short shrift. Muhammad Ali Jinnah, then terminally ill, did not like someone stealing the lamplight, and he was sent packing. He returned to Cambridge, where he died in obscurity a couple of years later, buried in Cambridge City Cemetery. I've been to see his grave. Okay, well, anyway, happy Pakistan Day to all my Pakistani viewers. Toodaloo.